KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. Gloria Calderon-Collette is a wearer of many hats. She is most widely known for developing the 2017 sitcom One Day at a Time, based on Norman Lear's 1975 series of the same name. Calderon-Collette is credited as showrunner, director, writer, and actor on that series. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans spoke to Calderon-Collette about her new Amazon Studios series, The Horror of Dolores Roach, and why erasure continues to affect the Latino community.
You brought up the erasure question. I was going to ask this a little later, but let's get to it now. Like, I took a look at one of the latest UCLA studies on inclusion.
Yeah.
And you probably know what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah, so they looked at the,
they looked at the 2020-21 TV season, and they found that roles for Latinx characters were at about 5% for broadcast cable and streaming. And, you know, I don't want to be the person who asks the person who's part of the marginalized group why they're being marginalized. But you're here. You do a lot of work on this. So I'm going to ask you anyway, like, what is going on here?
Why are Latinos
consistently the most underrepresented non-white group in entertainment?
It is the question I keep talking to my community about. There are many reasons that come up. I think that, you know, ultimately we are 20 plus countries under this umbrella of Latinidad, all with our own specific communities and foods and music and culture. And so we're very proud of the specifics, but we need to, in my opinion, hold hands a bit more than we currently are. And I think that's slowly happening. I think that Latinos are starting to see that we're just stronger together. And we see it certainly with politics, right? They always come for us last. They're like, uh-oh, we need the Latino vote. It's the last month of the election. Get out there, you know? And I think that we're starting to see, like, they should pay a little bit more attention to us. I mean, one in four Gen Xers is Latino. Like, we are the future of this country. And so people need to start paying attention more. And I think as a community, we need to start having conversations with one another about what taking up space looks like. I mean, I think for me too, there's certainly many Latinos in various communities that are able to pass as white. And so the fight isn't with them every day, the way that others are for people that are darker complected or that are unable to hide their Latinidad. And I don't want anyone to have to hide their Latinidad. I think it's so beautiful. Right. And I think it's something that we want to celebrate as much as possible. So I wish I knew specifically. I know that, you know, we show up for dominant culture projects. We show up the opening weekend of any number one movie. It's one in four Latinos that made that movie number one. You know, I think that it has been harder because there's so few shows for us that when one exists, we wanted to make up for 200 years of lack. And that can't happen. That's just impossible. So we start to infight about little things because we're so starved for representation that we want it to heal us and it can't. So the only thing that can are more at-bats. We need to have the ability to have many, many shows.
Now, of course, we're in the middle of a writer's strike. And one of the big concerns expressed by the WGA, of course, is how tough it's gotten for some writers to even make a living doing it. And I asked this question as somebody who teaches journalism classes and is encouraging people sometimes to enter journalism, which has also got its employment problems. But do you worry at all that you're encouraging people to enter a business that is tougher than it's ever been for people to make a living?
I don't worry that I'm encouraging them to enter a business that is changing dramatically because we need that change so badly. We need storytelling to be equitable. We just do. This country, people know how you vote based on what you watch. Storytelling is important in this country. So I very much need in my lifetime for the storytellers to be more equitable because it impacts policy. We see it right now. It impacts voting. It impacts law. So no, I definitely am going to keep on doubling down on having people who are from marginalized communities stand up and take up space and have their voices be heard. I think it is vital. Plus, We've been here a long time. We've seen a lot of the same stories again and again. I mean, I make jokes that there are banners with the same guy every year, but it's a new show. I'm like, oh, this guy is a cop again in this show? Like, we've seen that show five times. Like, I'm so bored by the sameness. And what I love so much is seeing new stories from new points of view. You know, I love it. I find it so exhilarating to hear about a different culture, a different world, a different POV. Then I think it makes me expand as a human. So no, I'm going to keep encouraging. I just think that everything is changing. Technology is changing every single facet of our society. So everyone just needs to go in eyes wide open to whatever business they hope to make a living at. And I'm just hoping to ease the journey a little bit more. But it's certainly something I worry about in terms, I mean, I've seen it with writer. When I was a mid-level writer, I was able to purchase my first home. And there's not a world where mid-level writers right now making what they make could even entertain that. They can barely cover their rent. So I've seen it. I've seen it with the kids that work on kids, like I'm a million years old, but the young people that are working on my shows, I see it. I see their struggle to live in the city and to pay their rent. And to it's certainly not, the strike is not for the millionaires. The strike is for these younger writers who are not able to, I mean, residuals are sometimes how I would make my insurance. You know, there were lean years where the residuals would get me to my insurance, and that's gone. So we just need to fight for the next generation of people, just like people fought for us. But prior, you know, we have to keep paying that forward.
And just quickly, we've seen several diversity, equity, and inclusion executives leave some big jobs at Disney and Netflix and other places.
I'm worried about it, Eric.
Yeah. What, I mean, as somebody who's on the inside, does that tell you anything, or what's your concern?
My concern is a contraction of all of the progress that we've made, a moving backwards. I'm definitely worried about it. Yes. I think that it's very short-sighted. I think that this is a very big country with a lot of different people in it that still do not see themselves represented. I mean, 20% of this country has a disability. We don't see people on TV with that ever. You know, the AAPI community, the Native community, like, we are still so behind in equitable storytelling. And I hope that the movement that has been made is not going to be completely lost. And it's something that, you know, the mergers made me very nervous, because they're starting to pull things off platform for tax write-offs. And of course, the things that get pulled off platform are often our stuff as well. Like Diary of a Future President, which was a beautiful show about Gina Rodriguez being president, a Latina president. That's not on platform anymore. That doesn't exist anymore. Gordita Chronicles, which was an Afro-Latina Dominican girl in Miami in the 80s. Adorable. Pulled from the platform. So new people don't even get to see it. Like, I still get texts and DMs daily from people who are still finding One Day at a Time. I'm so grateful it's still on platform, because it can still have societal ripples if it's on platform. If it's off platform, then that's another story that is buried. And that causes me great concern. So these are all conversations that we're having, and that we just got to still be loud about, in terms of, again, just equitable storytelling. I mean, in the last decade, the business owners who have been the most entrepreneurial are Latinos. Like, we are creating jobs. You're not seeing that story enough on TV. You're just not.
Yeah, there you go. And it's like that joke Michael Che tells, where he's just like, we're just saying Black Lives Matter.
That's it.
Not that they're better.
Oh my God, it's so true.
I just want to thank Gloria Calderon Kellett, who's executive producer on The Horror of Dolores Roach. This series is now streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Thank you so much for joining us on The Business.
Thank you so much, Eric.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's program, with help this week from John Meek, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business, as well as other great KCRW shows, on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.